All right, here we go. Solo, soulful Sundays. Soulful, solo Sundays. It's one of those Sundays. I just, you know, and I should have been doing this every Sunday. But I like when things build and compile. And I like things to pass over, you know, just a little bit. I don't want to be first. I want to be right. I want to be right, even if I'm not first. So, what does that mean, Elliot? So, with the different topics that I want to go over, and I just want to go over three, but I'll let y'all know what those three are when we get to them. But just a little bit of update before I get into me personally. I hope everybody is doing just fine. If y'all hear me driving, that means I'm driving on my way to the gym. But I'm going to give y'all some full content. I'm not going to rush through anything. I wish everybody, you know, a good, healthy struggle to make you strong. We know that God don't make things easy. So just know, when you think you're struggling, God just wants you to know that this is your workout. God just wants you to know that this is your calisthenics. God just wants you to know that this is your time. This is your time. Let me say that again. This is your time to execute. And this is your time to show God that he is God and you are his child. Make him proud. Right? Anytime that you struggle, it's resiliency. Anytime that you struggle, it's integrity. It's strength. All of the things that you need in order to succeed and thrive in this life is going to come via struggle. I don't want the struggle to kill you. I don't want the struggle to get the best of you. But if you strong, like God knows that you strong, then nothing, and I mean nothing, will be able to break you. Okay? Just letting y'all know that. Nothing will be able to break you. Now, as far as struggling, I've done that myself. You know, trying to get into the world of tech is not easy. I'm a black, heterosexual, American male with a voice and opinion that's loud, that echoes, bounces off the walls, and reverberates throughout any room and can tap into any conversation, to any form of white supremacy. And believe me, white supremacy is not always white. It will keep that type of voice out, right? Let's just get that understood. I'm not saying that anyone I know are white supremacists. I'm not saying anyone that I know is involved with white supremacy. But sometimes you can play that role and not even understand the role that you play without even knowing that you're playing it. It's just when you become cognizant of your role, do you, you know, be a responsible human being and say, nah, I can't do this because this doesn't look good on me. This does not fit me. Or, like a lot of folk, they see the benefit, they close eye, turn blind eye, or just act like it's not happening so they can keep benefiting. I wish that for no one. Besides that, just been working, going to the gym, making sure I get a lot of rest, you know, keeping in stride, you know, relationship-wise with my baby, and I'm cool. Now, why did I say I was a black heterosexual American male? Just recently I went live on Facebook because I just had a thought, you know, with the LGBTQIA community. For me personally, it became big news, right, when Mike Brown was killed, murdered, slaughtered by police who protect and serve themselves. There was the Black Male Revolutionary Group that was led by a man named King Sills, R.I.P. King Sills. Let he empower all of us. And this young man was able to galvanize other black men to fight against police brutality, create real police reform, and advocate for the punishment of police. Then there was the LGBTQ at this time with no IA plus, but it was the LGBTQ community who rose to prominence, sucked the life out of pause, sucked the life out of pause, that original movement, and started screaming Black Lives Matter. I'm just giving you context and history so it'll make sense when I get going. These young men and young women, regardless of their sexuality, they were outside screaming something like Black Lives Matter. And they kept on screaming Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And the reason that they kept saying this is because there was an agenda that was being pushed. There was an agenda that was being pushed. And we didn't realize that agenda until it got going, I want to say about, you know, 2-3 years later. And the scary thing about it is that overnight, it felt like overnight. Shout out to Dewan B for this. Follow Dewan B on Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, Dewan B. He said overnight, damn near overnight, that there was T-shirts, slogans around the world that said Black Lives Matter. I can't remember an organically led Black American movement that has been able to manufacture and spread across the world without the founders or the leaders being assassinated, dying, or killed. I've never seen that. And that's something that we really got to think about. So now that the context has been put down, on Black Lives Matters or Black Lives Matters website, Matters showing ownership, apostrophe S, they did not include the man, the woman, and the child. They do not represent the nuclear family. They were fighting for black trans and black gays and black this and black that. It wasn't just an overall agenda. And if it was all black lives, then okay. Because we were met with, and I'm not saying we because I was a part of this organization or I wanted part of this organization, because what it means in a general sense it makes complete sense because black lives definitely do matter. But as an organization, I do not stand with them because of what they represent. But it's just not that simple for me to say without giving context. So I represent the black nuclear family, man, woman, and child. But I also advocate for the lives of our brothers and sisters as well, who are still men and women, but they choose a different lifestyle. They live an alternative lifestyle, and I do not knock you for that. I don't agree with your decision, but at the end of the day, it is your decision. That is your divine right to have free will. That is your divine right to be able to choose. That is your divine right to say, this is who I am, but you got to stand firm and be confident. And don't worry about what the hell I call you. Don't worry about the hell anybody else says. You stand in your shit. You stand in your own conviction. Everybody else does not have to side or agree with you. That's just like me being black American or me being black. We've been persecuted for the color of our skin. We've been killed for it. We've been thrown in jail for it. We've been accused of crimes because, oh, well, you look like a suspect that has a warrant. Y'all are both African American, quote unquote. How many times have you heard, seen, or even been a part of that? And I would assume quite a few because that's the way America works. America was built off of pillage and slavery and theft and death. And the economics of free labor as well is what makes America the most powerful country and one of the biggest little bullies we've ever seen ever, right? So now back on topic. You saw this organization outside screaming Black Lives Matter. When Black Lives Matter was later exposed by King Seal, King Seal was found shot dead multiple times, over six times, military style killing. The car was on fire when he was shot. It said that the car might have possibly even exploded, which kind of worries me because they really wanted to get rid of this man, and whoever they are, they wanted to send out a message. Now, he was doing the same thing that Black Lives Matter was doing. But since Black Lives Matter had a different message and it was led by two black LGBTQ or two lesbian women, and they call themselves lesbians. So before y'all say, well, how do you know that they're lesbian? Go do your research. They say they're lesbian. They say they are part of the LGBTQ community. They say they advocate for who they advocate for. I didn't say that, they did. Who is they? The founders of Black Lives Matter. That's what they said. So don't come at me, don't say anything to me about, you know, well, why would you call them that? I'm sure there's a better word. That's what they said. They said they're lesbian, right? So I'm just honoring their wishes, and I'm honoring what they say, right? So, they don't die because they fit a narrative and they're fighting for something that the establishment, the system, them folks, the unseen hand will accept and will fund. Because it can't just be black. It has to be black and brown, underserved communities, urban neighborhoods, the disenfranchised. That's not the same thing as black. Because when you say black, that makes it a vertical issue. But when you say black, brown, gay, straight, LGBTQ, people in poverty, the urban area, then it becomes a horizontal issue. Then you activate benign and neglect. Benign and neglect is any time that black folks have requested something for black folks, you always have to throw something else in with us in order to negate what we're asking for individually. Now, if it's black that you're asking for, it has to be black and gay. Or it has to be black and Native American. It has to be black and brown, black and Latino, black and, you know, neighborhoods in poverty, black and the poor. Now, poor to some is not poor to others, right? So the average white income, according to Brookings Institute, let me just give you an example, is anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000, and that's man, woman, child, without any depreciating asset. So to go from, oh, let's say $150,000 to $45,000, have they not slipped into poverty with all that's going on right now? So with that context being laid, you have the LGBTQ community that's funded, bought, and paid for. If you don't know who George Soros is, I don't have that type of time. Go look him up. See what he's donated to. See who he's donated to. When you have this type of organization, Black Lives Matter, that is led by two LGBTQ black women, or black LGBTQ women, because they are black first. This is in the NFL. This is in the NBA. But I've never seen the Black Panthers get any type of, I've never seen any organic movements get any type of, you know, even Next Generation Action Network in Dallas. They don't just fight for black issues. I've never seen them fight for a black agenda. I've never seen them do anything like that. And that is bothersome. And, you know, Dominique, I just wish that you would fight for a black agenda. And I wish you would pass the Path to Reparations plan that I've been emailing your organization for the last year and a half. But it's almost like you have, and your organization has, secret or not so secret handlers that tell you what you can advocate for, what you can fight for, who you can fight for, and when you can fight for them. You fight for black folks when it's convenient. But it's just different organizations like that, and I just had to throw that in there real quick. But it's different organizations like that that are regulated by others that aren't us, that prevent us from doing for us. And at the end of the day, like I said, white supremacy is not always white. White supremacy is a system, and it is a system that can put its hands on your organization, your personal well-being, or even your system or business or organization that you establish in order to gain control. And it gives you an option. Either you can fall in line and get rich, or we can destroy you and no one will respect you or have any recollection you ever existed. And this has happened. A lot of people forget about King Seals. A lot of people forget about, you know, these individuals that were able to do the things that they've done. A lot of these other, you know, groups that want to do for black folk don't even get talked about because they want to do things for black folk, right? So it's almost like it's almost like you have to have the image that you're doing when you're not. It's almost, if not just blatant open portrayal, that is excused because we make the excuse of, well, if we just do for black folks, we wouldn't last because different organizations and different people wouldn't like that. We have to be there for all people. We have to have justice for all people. Now, if government was really like that, we wouldn't see what we see. All other people do get justice. All other people do get some type of retribution. All other people have some type of fallback plan, advantage, or anything like that. Other people have this. Meanwhile, we do not. We really don't. And it's a scary thing that we don't, because it's almost like you want us to die. You don't want us to have protection. You don't want us to have policies and legislation that allows us to have what we need to keep us alive and to be able to own and have what we truly deserve. And we need those things. We must and we have to have them. And also, it's a thing to bundle us up with everyone else. And I'm going to get back to my point, but I just have to put it in proper context. To bundle us up with everyone else and make it appear like you're doing something. We get it, but we get a fraction of what we actually asked for. And everyone else gets to benefit, you know, in portions, if not more than what they even wanted to begin with, is given to everyone else. But we, who originally advocated and fought and beat the street, we don't get. Now, speaking of beating the street, before I get back to my main point with the LGBTQIA, because I'm saying all of this to show you how much power LGBTQIA, the organization, actually has. I'm pointing out the power first. I'm pointing out where they came from. I'm pointing out what was compromised, the lives that were taken in order for them to have this power to where they can call you by certain names that you never agreed to. They can throw their name in the pot and then they're just able to benefit from everyone else's fight. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Because when black folks march the streets, somehow it's about black trans, black gays, black and LGBTQ. It's kind of like black and brown, black and Latino, black and Native American, black and anyone else that we can include so we don't have to do nothing just for black folks. When it was just black folks that were marching at one point, when it wasn't safe. But when it is safe, when police are there, when you are sanctioned to be there, when there's no gunfire, when there's no tear gas, when there are no dogs, when there are no hoses, that's when you other folk come out. Now, shout out to my allies and accomplices that will come out, that will fight, that are willing to lose what they have, even if it's a little or a lot. Because they understand that even though that is my black American brother, that is my black from abroad brother, God made him like God made me. And if he protect me, then God damn it, I'm going to protect him. And I was doing good without cussing, but God damn it, it just jumped in me for a second, right? So, man, honestly, and I mean honestly, I just don't, when I see organizations say what they say about black folk, show me, man. Put your money where your mouth is. You know, watching the LGBTQ come up, it concerns me. The organization, not the people. So now, fast forward to my quick topic. I addressed on Facebook, if you are part of the LGBTQIA organization, as a heterosexual black American man, stop calling heterosexual folk men that like women and women that like men cisgender. I don't know what the fuck that is, but please refrain from that. Because if we can't say words like faggot, do not call us cisgender. We respect, even though the world doesn't respect us, because we don't have enough power to incriminate folks who say the word nigger or nigga. I wish that was a law, that you cannot say the word nigga and you will be fined. And if you are fined so many times, you can be placed on probation and eventually jail time. I think that should be done. I think that should be a bill. I think that should be passed. Because we need to get that out of our vocabulary as well, as black folks, black Americans, because the word nigga has been tied into so much. You know, 70s, 80s hip hop, early 90s hip hop, we was calling each other God, you know, or we would say Negro, or we would say brother. We would address each other with cool names and things to say, you know. Peace, brother. Peace, God. Peace, black man. You know, even when we were angry, man, Negro, please. Fool, jive. You know, like, we would come up with different things to say. But then now it's nigga, nigga, nigga. So I can only imagine what the word faggot says to y'all. Because faggot is a derogatory term. I can acknowledge that. It don't even sound good rolling out of my mouth. And I'm not openly calling anyone a faggot, but I'm just saying the word so we can all understand what and how that what it means and how it's offensive. If we can respect that, and I can express how I don't like that, and I can compare it in a sense on how it feels, and it has a history, not the fact that one has way more history than the other, but I'm just simply saying that it's a derogatory term. And in certain words and phrases, like, you know, Indian giver, sit Indian style, you know what I'm saying? Like, certain things have certain context, and we have to understand context to be able to understand. So now, y'all, LGBTQ folk, my brothers and sisters, especially who are part of that lifestyle, don't call me cisgender, please. Don't call me cisgender. You can call me heterosexual, or you can just call me a black man. But put my race first. You know what I'm saying? So just please respect those of us who don't like that, because we don't fuck with that. All that classification shit we didn't ask for, we didn't ask for that shit. All right? So let's just respect each other. But at the same time, I understand we have to respect ourselves. But please show me that you respect me so others can respect themselves and the world sees that we can respect each other. That's fair. And for my brothers and sisters, I do love you. I love you a ton. Now, to the next subject. And I'm running the air. So if y'all just hear the air for a minute, I'm in the car. Or if y'all hear the car, I apologize in regards to that. But y'all gonna get my message, though. I promise you that. Y'all gonna get my message. The border crisis. For everybody and anybody who voted for Joe Biden, I just want to ask you a question. Did Trump allow this? Did Trump allow illegal immigrants to come over here and commit crime? Did Trump allow police to be beat up by Venezuelan gangs? Did Trump allow $1,000 on prepaid debit cards funded with taxpayer money and there was no vote? And even during local elections or city hall meetings where the locals and the born Americans and American citizens and citizens of New York, were they allowed to participate? To vote yay or nay, or even speak on the issue, or was it just done? Would Trump have allowed this? We say that Trump is this, and Trump is unfit, and Trump is mean, and Trump will blow up the country. Even though there was no war, there is war now, not just in Gaza and Israel, not just in Iraq, not just with blue states and democratic cities where they're supposed to be sanctuary cities. Because when I think about a sanctuary, I think about a church, the room in the church where folks get together and they fellowship in the name of God, the Lord. Ain't nothing that says sanctuary to me about where and what's going on at this current time. And it's quite strange to me that, you know, the big bad Republicans are the ones that are fighting for this to be stopped. And the Biden administration is just letting this happen. Now, I don't know if y'all understand or not, but black folks, we do not benefit from legal or illegal immigration until we have complete economic redress. By the numbers. And the percentages and the employment rate, illegal or legal immigrants can snatch jobs away from black American males at the most. And then it'll turn into the women getting government jobs and maintaining those government jobs, because now the money that you command and the money that you're supposed to be paid can be cut in half, because that particular person will work for half of the money, more of the time, and not be a citizen, but can automatically get a work permit. You have illegal immigrants staying in 5-star hotels, being fed for free, 3 meals a day. They're throwing the meals away. And you can go look at this. Even though your CNN, your MSNBC, your any other news channel has not been talking about this. This is local news. Illinois, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Massachusetts. In majority black neighborhoods is where illegal immigrants are being sent to. The
the Latino community and chambers and caucus of Illinois were confused with the city on receiving illegal immigrants and having them bust to majority black neighborhoods. Coming from Venezuela, Argentina, Colombia, and other countries in South America and Mexico and Central America, you think they would be put in neighborhoods where there are majority of their people that speak their own language. They're able to identify with their culture, and they would mix better, and it would be a better sense of connection. But this is being done in neighborhoods that don't have the culture, who don't speak their language, in order to drive those people out. In the city of New York also, there were apartments that were completely vacant. No one was staying in these apartments at all, whatsoever. None. No people. The citizens of Chicago, born American citizens, and those who are first and second generation legal immigrants, people who came over here, did DACA, people who came over here and did the paperwork to become a citizen, people who went through the process, people who did the right thing, people who were able to come over here and say, hey, what do I have to do? How can I qualify? How can I live a better life? How can I pay taxes? What can I contribute to? Salute to you. Salute to you. Love and appreciation to you. And I mean that in all seriousness. I did a head salute just now. Salute to you. And I love y'all for it. To second generation, tell your parents I said thank you. To my first generation, tell your parents I said thank you. To the generation that came over here and did it right, I love y'all for that. And thank you. Because it is simply not fair, and it is unjust, and it is not a thing of democracy. Since we want to just talk about democracy, how people can just come illegally, force their way into the country, and then they can get Social Security. Go look it up. They're being able to vote after 30 days after being an illegal immigrant. They're trying to do that in Minnesota. They're trying to do that in Vermont. They're trying to do that in Massachusetts. Thank God I'm in Texas, a red state. Yeah, I'm the state where Greg Abbott at. And I'm glad Greg Abbott is doing what he's doing by sending them to sanctuary cities. Y'all said y'all won't illegal immigrants. Y'all said y'all will provide resources, and the resources being taxpayer money to provide migrants, aka illegal immigrants, American citizen taxpayer money. That's what y'all wanted. Greg Abbott sending them to you. And I got another question. For white folks that are against reparations, other folks of other colors, of other nationalities, other races, where is the complaining about this? Reparations for descendants of American slavery and black Americans that were enslaved in the institution known as slavery, that's owed by the United States government. Taxpayers won't have anything to do with that. If anything, businesses and organizations would even have to pay a reparations tax if I were ever in charge of it. But yet I get complaining about, well, I mean, reparations ain't gonna come out of my taxpaying money. But now illegal immigrants are getting your taxpayer money. I just want to know where is the bitching. I just want to know where is the hate. I want to know where is all this heat, all this hot air that you have for reparations, when basically illegal immigrants are getting everything that American citizens have been hollering for, been clamoring for, been wanting. Since forever, we've been advocating for this since forever. Free health care is being given to illegal immigrants. Prepaid cards with thousands of dollars on them are being given to illegal immigrants to help them. Free housing is being given to illegal immigrants. Y'all, help me understand. I don't know. Where is the hate for them? Where is the hate for them? Where is the vitriol for them? Where is the racism for them? Where is the niggers don't deserve reparations? I'm not paying out of my tax dollars. Well, I'm not paying out my tax. They weren't slaves. Okay, illegal aliens had a home. Illegal immigrants had a home. Illegal immigrants left home and came to another country and were able to benefit in the other country rather than their home. With your taxpaying money. And they're telling you it's your taxpaying money without you physically being a part of that decision. How do you feel about that? Folks that are against reparations, folks that don't understand how shit works. Huh? I just want to know. I would love to know. And I'm just trying to make it make sense. Shout out to Real Tune, Diamond Stone, Urban Politicians TV, UPTV. And I'm going to make sure I stay on my pivot at all times. Shout out to OG Percy for the make it make sense. I'm just trying to make it make sense. So for all of you who voted Biden, y'all still riding? For all y'all who voted Biden, y'all still riding? Your taxpaying dollars ain't even going towards you. I just got a notification that said lack of access to work permits continues to keep many migrants in shelters. So you have illegal immigrants that barge the border, flood the border, are being sent to Democratic states and cities, sanctuary cities. It's a lot of Americans that are out of work. It's a lot of Americans that can't work. It's a lot of Americans who
who can't even afford to pay bills most of the time. It's a lot of Americans who struggle. It's a lot of Americans that need help. It's a lot of Americans that need a lot of things, a lot of tangible things, so their intangible can improve, like depression, worry, doubt, to the point where people are having suicidal thoughts because they think they can't make it here. And you're giving it to folks that are criminals. Crossing the border illegally is a crime. It is a federal crime. But because the Democratic Party needs a new voting base, they're willing to take a chance. They're willing to take a chance. And just give these folks what they want right out the gate. But American citizens, can't do that. Can't have access to it. All right. Last subject. The Great Beehive. Queen Bee. Beyoncé Knowles. Is she as really powerful as we think? Is she as really star-studded as we believe? Now, there have been things that have been said about Beyoncé. She is a great entertainer. She's even a great singer. Some would beg to differ. I believe that she's those two. I believe that she's a legendary artist. I believe that she's been a part of a legendary group. But there has also been allegations of stolen music, multiple reference tracks. People even question her being in the Songwriter Hall of Fame, and she's not a songwriter. But if we want to really say it, you know, Michael Jackson had a few songs written for him, but it's record that Michael Jackson has written songs for others, and some of his best songs he's written himself. And that's on record. Babyface wrote "I'll Be Your Baby Tonight" by Whitney Houston, and that is my favorite Whitney Houston song. Babyface and L.A. Reid wrote the song together, even though I believe it was just Babyface and L.A. Reid just put his name on it. But Whitney Houston was writing funk long before she started doing R&B. Long before she started doing these ballads. And she was writing those too. Still one of three great voices of all time. And there are other great voices as well. You know, there are other great voices as well, but it is not even debatable. About Whitney Houston. But, and it's somebody that I'm thinking about that has a excellent voice. I want to search for her. Y'all go and look up Phyllis Hyman. Phyllis Hyman got a crazy, powerful, she's in my top three, voices, vocalist, singer, man, crazy, but Beyonce,
she gave house music to the LGBTQ community and said it was their creation, because she was criticized for using house music to sell her album, and the main standout in Break My Soul. Now, where does house music come from? Chicago, Illinois, in black communities, when there was a lack of jobs for black folk, they would have rent parties in the basement. They would pitch in for people to be able to pay their rent, but they would have parties. And music was changing around this time. The synthesizer was starting to become a thing. Digital started to replace analog. Keyboards were getting more channels with more sounds and presets and banks, meaning that there were more sounds to play with in the keyboard that you hear in beats and songs today. Now, the music started to change. Now, because of this change, because of the music switching up, it started to create a different genre. The fact that the music was in a house, literally, the music was in a house party, and it had its own sound, its own lyrics, it was considered house music. That's where it comes from. Now, whoever attaches themselves to it is whoever attaches themselves to it. Because in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, we started to see an emergence of LGBTQ. But at that time, it was the gay movement. It was the movement of homosexuality. And it was very scrutinized. A lot of the people who stood in their own shit, you know what I'm saying? Not to say what they had was shit, but they stood on their own 10. They stood 10 toes down because that's who they felt like they were, and they embraced it. They embraced house music. They embraced electronic dance. They embraced what they could dance to. So when Madonna put out Vogue, it was almost like it was a thing. When who was it? Donna Summer? I'm coming out. I want the world to know. I gotta let it show. Who you think attached themselves the most to that? I'm just saying. And it was a variation of house music. It was a variation of dance, electronic music. And that's what they did, and that's how they did it. So, Beyonce, I would just love if you exercise this power that everybody thinks that you have and you don't, because when somebody tells you to jump, you ain't even gotta ask how high, you just jump to the maximum vertical. Where is the power of the artist that holds all this power of the fans and the masses? I just wonder sometimes. I really wonder. I just, you know, and I don't have too much to say about Beyonce herself, but the fact that she's one of those artists that could really expose what the hell is going on here. Before I go, for my brothers and sisters who embrace and who are of an alternative lifestyle, if you take on the LGBTQIA identity, I invite you to watch a movie called Tongues Untied. Pause. Again, pause. Tongues Untied. It was written and directed by a homosexual black male. It's an 80s documentary. I invite you to go watch it. It will give you where a man like Jeffrey Dahmer has come from. It'll give you the thought of how he was able to do the things that he was able to do without consequence. It will make you think and feel different about what is going on, but at the same time, empower you as black LGBTQIA. I want you to think about your race first, because I want you to be honest. They don't treat you the way that they treat white or any other LGBTQIA. They don't. So don't fall under assimilation. Don't become an amalgamation of bullshit. Meaning, don't mix yourself in to bullshit and things that don't apply specifically to you. And I'm just being real. But now that I've been real, I gotta go to the gym. This has been So Low, So Full Sundays podcast, and I hope y'all enjoy it. Like it, share it, tell your friends about it. Just quick, I am not racist in any way, but I am black first, second, and third. And if you are my ally or accomplice, I fuck with you. If you are the enemy, it's fuck you.